Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So we heard Jesus say, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth comes from the Father, and he will testify on my behalf. You are also to testify because you have been with me from the beginning." And I hear those words, and I think, well, that's not entirely true. We haven't had the luxury of walking with Jesus from the beginning, like those first disciples have. Not in the physical sense, if you will. We haven't been able to hang out with him and hear his stories and see his teaching unfold in the hearts and minds of those who are hearing him for the first time. We didn't get to walk in the places where he walked, serve in those places where he served and preached and loved. Those earliest disciples, they were there. They had that gift. They were able to say, "We knew Jesus before it all unfolded." They were even able to say, many of them, "We were with Jesus after the resurrection. We broke bread with him." They were there. We don't have that luxury. But we do have the luxury of the stories written down. We do have the living word in our midst, teaching, guiding, and directing, breaking through. We have the whole story. They didn't. They didn't have the entire story. We have the story of how the church unfolded until today. And even more, we have the promise. We have the promise and have received the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. We were told that the Holy Spirit would come down and meet us. And the Holy Spirit has indeed been sent into our midst and been given us so we will never be without God. That promise was given and received. In the gospel text today from John 16, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Perhaps, I don't know if her words and writings have gotten to the island, but do you know of Kelly Fryer? Any nods? A few. Kelly Fryer is a bit of a prophet, I think, in her own right, and she continues to be a prominent speaker and author in the realm of Lutheran evangelical and missional growth. One of her really popular books a few years ago and continues to be, I think, important is called Reclaiming the E Word. Evangelical, right? Everybody's like, "Oh, pastor, don't go there." Yeah, I know. She tells in that book a story about a professor of hers who was apparently getting fed up with his class. And at the end of the class, just completely got fed up, went up to the drawing board, the chalkboard at the time, and wrote a long arrow pointing downward. Threw the chalk down, left the room. And they all sat there kind of stunned. And returning to the class the next week, apparently, he told the class that this was all they needed to know and wondered if they had figured out what it meant yet. Kelly, at the time, apparently meant that she thought it meant that they were all going to hell. She thought for sure that he was completely frustrated and that was his sign to them. But no, in fact, her professor was telling them that God always comes down. God always comes down to us. God always meets us where we are at. Even in the midst of frustration, God comes down. And he was telling them in his own way that there is nothing that they could do to get to God, to earn their way to God. God always comes down to save us and to set us free, Kelly says over and over again. As Kelly Fryer reminds her readers and hearers over and over again, she speaks about the participation of God in the life of God's world. And she has, I think, a very special way of communicating God's grace, which is freely given. She said that she has now, in her life, discovered through her prayer and study and learning that her professor, God forbid, wasn't 100% right. She said that downward arrow is definitely important, but it's not the full story. It's not the only thing we need to know like he said it was. She says, in fact, the rest of the story includes a horizontal arrow, if you want to keep up with the imagery. That horizontal arrow signifying God's love and grace being spread throughout the world. Not just coming down for us, but being spread throughout the world. Jesus told his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away, so that I can send the whole advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Jesus left this world so that he could send the Spirit to be in and among us, guiding us to love one another. God truly does come into the world to bless us, to love, and blesses us with the Holy Spirit that we can be in service for the world, that we can and should be and are sent out. In Galatians, Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become servants to one another." In other words, don't just take this God coming to you just for yourself, but through love become servants of one another. For the whole law is summed up in one single commandment, and we've heard it before, "You shall love the neighbor as yourself." God has set us free and empowered us with the Holy Spirit so that we don't have to worry about being saved. That whole E word, that evangelical word, is a really still in today's Lutheran church a controversial word, and it's a part of who we are. We are called to proclaim and to teach and to preach. We don't have to worry about being saved. We don't have to worry about being good enough. Worrying about earning our salvation. Rather, our evangelical nature is to share that love with others. We don't have to worry about being just so or perfect enough and have everything in order so that we can go out and serve. Not at all. There's no amount of right talent or qualification that will be enough. We are just called to go. Kelly has done a lot of touring and examining and studying of congregations. And in the congregations that she has visited, and she says those that are growing are helping to change people's lives and are equipping people for the being sent out. She said that these congregations, the ones that are growing and thriving, they understand their central role in the Christian life to be active and involved in Jesus' work at the crossroads of life. Jesus is calling us to be witnesses in word and deed, in the places where we live and work, not in some foreign land, but rather in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces and in our classrooms, in the voting booths and in the World Wide Web, and especially in the way that we use our resources. We are called out to be church in the world. Not just church in the building here at the corners of Dominus and Punahou. Yeah, these are our crossroads of some degree. But the bigger crossroads of our lives is truly where we are called to proclaim. Called to proclaim the truth that God has graciously and abundantly come down. Come down to us in the Christ so that we are free to give our lives in service for another. Friar reminds us that Jesus meets us at the crossroads of the nations, and she has this sort of mantra, and she says, "Be who you are, see what you have, and do what matters." Be who you are, see what you have, and then go out and do what matters. Today, after worship, we will have a bit of discernment and discussion here as a congregation about what our project can and perhaps should be during the time of Pastor Jeff's sabbatical for the summer. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, I pray that we trust the Holy Spirit to guide. And I wonder a couple important questions for us. I wonder, what do those crossroads look like for you as an individual, as a part of this whole family? In other words, where are you being called to follow Jesus every day? Where do you spend your time? How do you share the good news in those places? And what do you hear? And then within that larger context of being a part of a church, where are we together being called to do or to say or to act on behalf of God? What will God do through us next? We have been set free to go and to be and to do. So perhaps we need to pay a little attention to what might be getting in the way. Is there anything distracting? Anything that we need to set to the side? And then what do we hear? In this walk with our God who has come down to us, we are reminded to be surprised by the Holy Spirit. You saw the way the kids got really excited about the bubbles. My friends, I pray that you be just as excited about the ways that the Spirit moves, the ways that the Spirit guides and directs and rejoices in our lives. For the Spirit will blow as she will, and we can only be attentive and pay attention and follow where God is leading. In Jesus' name, amen.